stand with me out of respect to God's holy word and take your scriptures to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, of course, in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, and then verse 23 is a wonderful verse. And the title of tonight's message, Serve the Lord Heartily. Serve the Lord Heartily, or Heartily. Colossians chapter 3, and then verse 23 will be our main verse. And then we'll go, look at the verses up and below it. But Colossians 3, verse 23, the Word of God says, Amen. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let us pray. Abba, Father, I thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. We praise you, Father, for just your watch care over us, your goodness to us, Lord. And I think, Lord, in spite of us, that you love us. You are long-suffering to us. And, Father, you are just so amazing while we are saved. And even when I was not saved, that you are not willing that any should perish. And so, Father, I'm so thankful that you saved me and that you redeemed my soul from a devil's hell. And that I'm born again, and I know it forever. Lord, that we cannot lose our salvation. That we're so thankful, Lord, that the shed blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sins. And so, Father, we rejoice. That thank you for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray even now, Lord, that you will move these lips of clay, that I would speak, Father, what you have me to say. Hide me behind the cross, Father, that you would encourage us from your holy word. And what a tremendous privilege that we can serve you, that anyone can glorify you truly anywhere. And we just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you, friends. May be seated. And again, wonderful verse. The Lord wants us to serve him. Amen. Serve him from the heart. In other words, not just because I have to, but because I want to. He wants our heart above all else. Again, if the heart is right there the way it should be, everything else kind of falls into place. And this is a wonderful verse, and it resonated with me, still does. If I can just share a little bit, when I was, just a new Christian, I appreciate, of course, my preacher preaching, and of course, he preached from the Word of God, and many times there were a lot of examples of the disciples. James and John and Andrew, Peter, they were fishermen, and of course, they forsook all and followed Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, of course, Saul before that of Tarsus, and God changed him inside out. Of course, he became a hero of the faith, and all these tremendous examples of the men of God in the scriptures. Now, if I can just speak candidly, I used to always think to myself, yeah, that's great for them, but I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm just a sales guy. That was my capacity, sales and consulting. That was what I worked in, and I had a business degree and whatever. And so I thought, well, it's I'm not going to, I want to forsake all, kind of. I mean, I'm not going to just quit tomorrow type thing. And certainly it's not as though everyone in their church would just quit the job left. That's not the idea. And so it was sometimes hard for me to relate. It was hard for me, like, well, okay, can't quite. I don't know how much I'll be, maybe, 5%, 1% of a Peter, 1% of a Paul, and this verse really blessed me, because it's a reminder that anyone can glorify the Lord. Anyone can. And it's something that I needed. I'm like, hey, I'm an anyone. If you're an anyone, you can glorify the Lord too. And so that's a wonderful thing, because the context of verse 23, of course, no-brainer. It's in verse 22, the verse before. And so if you go up one verse with me, this is speaking to servants in the context, of course, meaning employees, okay? And so servants working for a master, employees working for an employer or a boss or a owner, okay? And the idea, this is targeted to servants. Not necessarily, preachers or ministers or, men of God, and by the way, if you're a believer, any Christian man can ought to be a man of God. Any Christian woman ought to be a virtuous woman. Amen. Not just those in ministry, which if you want to even tackle that, we all have full-time ministries because God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And so we're all ministers in that capacity. But this really blessed me because it reminded me that hey, am I working for someone? Well, yeah, then I'm a servant. Okay, from this, and it doesn't say middle management. It doesn't say the VP, and that still reports to someone. Okay, this can be the lowest guy on the totem pole. And so it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what kind of an employee you are. Anyone can serve. I mean, that's wonderful. And then it goes hand in hand with anyone can serve. It also shows that anyone can glorify the Lord, not just at church, not just in Bible study, not just in service, not just midweek service, not just in whatever ministry. Of course, that's a joy to glorify God and serve God there, but really anywhere. So it's anyone anywhere. Because notice what it says here. It's not in a service per se. It's the context here is work on the job site. And that is so wonderful because I need to remind myself, and it's worth noting that don't divorce our day jobs with our calling of being a Christian, our opportunity to serve and glorify God. Yes, we can worship God, and we ought to worship God collectively when we assemble for church. Absolutely. And so that is true. We worship God when we assemble, but we can truly glorify God anywhere. And the more I thought about it, wait a minute. 24 hours in a day, if you're blessed to sleep for 8 hours, it doesn't really happen, but if you can sleep for a third of the day, all that's left is 16 hours. And then if you consider, hey, I'm working my job, an 8-hour shift, 10, some 12-hour shifts, whatever the case, and then travel time, I mean, a good portion of the lives of Christians, waking time, all right, sleeping, we need that, but that's, that's kind of off the table, right? I mean, we need to sleep and recharge our batteries. Sleeping is oftentimes underrated. But as far as waking hours that we can actually do stuff, a good chunk of any Christian's life is at work, doing work, working for work. And it's a reminder that this is speaking in verse 22 about the employee-employer relationship, the servant-master relationship, okay? But it's a reminder that wow, if I have a job, if you have a job, if we have a job, that is a ministry. The job is the ministry. It's not as though I got to work my job, put in my time, and then after that I got this ministry. I mean that's great too, but a job itself is a ministry, and we do ourselves a disservice when we kind of divorce, secular from spiritual. Okay, I understand. We want to remain apart from the world. I get that. But the idea is that don't just switch off what God desires from us just because I'm working a quote-unquote secular job, because it comes from God. Yes, it is in the world. Of course, we're not of the world. But as we are in the world, let our light so shine before men. And it is a tremendous reminder that anyone can glorify God. Doesn't matter what rank or who we are. Anywhere. And as we read the scriptures here, the purpose of that employee-employer relationship is truly to glorify God. My co-laborers, that's my even customers, co-laborers, co-workers, that's my mission field, And my boss, even the unsaved bosses, even the not so nice bosses, that's a representation of Christ. Now, they might not be a good representation, okay? But God works through authority, and that's not, I might have the worst boss ever. It doesn't get me off the hook of being still a good employee. And so I want us to look at verse 22. Verse 22 kind of kicks it off here. Servants, so that's speaking to saved Christians who are employed in some capacity by someone else. Obey in all things. So how do I glorify the Lord anyway? Anyone can do it, and we can do it anywhere. But this is very specific here. Obey the scope in how many things? All things. All things. Your masters according to the flesh. So our our job, supervisors, whatever, foreman, whatever the case is, business owners, all things your masters according to the flesh. And then here's that's the scope of what, you know, what I ought to do to bring glory to God. And here's the depth. Not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, not to be outwardly focused in pleasing man, but to be inwardly focused to please God. It says here, but in singleness of heart. In other words, not a divided heart, not a split heart, but a whole heart, a complete. In other words, God wants my whole heart. Remember, we minister to people, including our boss. You know, they're unsaved, they're part of the mission field. So we minister to people. Always remember, we minister to people, but we serve only God. We minister to people, but we serve only God. It's just like, you know, if you're working a job, and so yes, you minister to customers or quote unquote customer service. Okay, so you wait on customers. I get it. But the one that you report to, the one that has authority over us, that can hire us and fire us, is the boss, right? And so we wait and minister to customers. That's part of the business. But we report to, we are accountable to the boss. You know, we don't work for the customer. I know I know we serve from that capacity, but really the one that we truly work for, the one that we should work for, is the boss. I always reconcile this myself too in customer service and sales. That was where I came from, even from the scriptures, that if the boss says do A, customer says do B, I am obligated to do what? Do A. Do what my boss says. I mean, if I can't do it, I got to quit. Okay, if that goes against my conscience, goes against what the Word of God says, then I can't do it, boss. I'll quit. I can't do it. And so that's our authority is who we work for. We work for our boss. And so just in that capacity, we minister to people, but we serve only God. We fear only God. In fact, the Word of God says here, but in singleness of heart, God wants my whole heart, fearing God. Fearing God. God wants us to, in fact, God says not to even fear those that can attack us and kill us, right? Don't fear them that can kill the body, and then after that, that's all they can do. God wants us to fear who? Fear Him. And so I'm not even supposed to be fearing. God is a jealous God, and He wants all my heart, all my reverence, all that fear, and sometimes it's easy for me to slip into my flesh. By nature, I'm a people pleaser. I'm a man pleaser. That's how I am hardwired. And I know I need to be a God-fearer and fear only God. I'm afraid of my boss. No, fear God. I mean, that fear is something that God desires. God wants. This is how He made us, to be God-fearing, to fear Him. Fearfully, wonderfully made. We're full of wonder, full of awe and reverence, I get it, but God has put that spirit of fear towards Him. He wants that fear, and that's rightfully His. Okay, He is a jealous, jealous God. Verse 23, we'll keep going, and so that context, and whatsoever ye do, whatever we do in any capacity, again, now this even goes beyond the work site, okay, but this is specifically for employee-employer relationship, but certainly goes beyond there. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. That's a wonderful word, heartily. Now, it kind of got me thinking. Typically, I would use that word, or in fact, not so much I would use it, but it would be used of me, especially even when I was just, you know, having an extremely fast metabolism. I could eat all day long, you know, and whether it's going to, you know, with friends and some kind of a party, or whether we're going to the buffet, oftentimes, folks will say, "Oh, he's got a what appetite? A hearty appetite, right?" And so, if someone eats what they're given, you know, and no leftovers, comes back seconds, can I get thirds, fourths, you know, that they got a hearty appetite. And so, the idea of hearty is you eat it all, right? You take it all in, you consume it all. There's no leftovers. And so, the idea of hearty is complete, okay? And God wants us to serve Him heartily. Can I put it out there to us, friends, that would be with my whole heart. My whole heart. As to the Lord. Now, the context is obeying our masters according to the flesh in verse 22. But it is as to the Lord. Understanding that when I work for my boss, it's as though I'm working for Jesus. That is mind-blowing. But that's now he's not, okay? But the idea is as though, because God uses authority in our lives to show his power, to show who he is, his sovereignty, and God works through authority. But that's the context. As to the Lord, it's as though I'm obeying him, as though I would obey Jesus, okay? And not unto men. When I'm hired by name your company, it's as though Jesus is hiring you. I want you to work at this place, okay? Because God's in control. Now, God might have given, just like Pilate, God might have given them authority to have whatever, you know, they want to do. But it all comes from God. God is the only authority, only source of authority, and he dispenses it according to his will and sovereignty. God's in control. And in fact, if you look at verse 18, same context, beyond the workplace, look at verse 18, back up with me, Colossians 3, verse 18, speaking about even at home and in the marriage, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. When the wife submits to the husband, it's as though she's submitting to Jesus. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Indeed, it pleases God. But it's as though that the parents are there in the stead of God. God has put, you know, himself, he has given the parents the privilege of being over the children. When the children honor and obey mom and dad, it's as though they're obeying and honoring God. Okay, that's the concept. Same thing with our masters or our bosses. And in fact, the word of God is very, very specific. It says here, verse 23, whatsoever ye do, and so it doesn't matter what I do, but I have to do it heartily, out of my heart, sincerely, completely, as to the Lord, unto Jesus. This is how we glorify God, and not unto men. God intentionally mentions this because the not unto men defines heartily. If I do it with a split allegiance, that means I fear God, but I kind of fear this boss, okay? And if it has to be entirely to the Lord, my fear of God, my service to God. Remember, just like we serve customers, but we work for our boss. You know, we serve. You know, we minister to others to work, but we work for God. God is the one that we truly, truly work for and truly, truly serve. It's just Him and Him alone. Look at verse 24. What happens when we glorify the Lord? Amen. Knowing that of who? The Lord. Of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Certainly, speaking of eternal rewards for believers at the judgment seat of Christ. Certainly not, you know, that said, when I get my paycheck from my boss, that's God paying me. Praise God. In fact, Ecclesiastes tells us what we get, what we earn, is a gift from God. It comes from God. It doesn't come from my boss. God's my boss, right? God's my Lord. God's my king. But it says, in knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. That is an amazing thing. In fact, when we consider it, God is the one that rewards us. In fact, it tells us here, God himself calls himself a rewarder, right? Hebrews 11:6, don't have to turn there, I'll just read this to us. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, amen, he is the great I am, he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We shall receive the reward. That's future tense. It looks towards the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, if you want to go down to chapter 4, verse 1, same book, Colossians 4, look at verse 1. Now, this is speaking about masters or the bosses or the employers. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. I understand it's speaking about earthly bosses in the flesh. But God is the righteous judge. He is the ultimate master. God is the ultimate boss. No doubt God, the Lord, at the judgment seat will give us that which is just and equal. I mean, this is the example he's asking of masters who picture him on planet Earth. God himself, no doubt Jesus Christ himself, will give us what is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master, capital M, that's Jesus Christ, in heaven. And so we serve the Lord Christ. You know, our true boss is God, is the true person that we serve is the Lord, and he will give us what is just and equal, even if my earthly boss doesn't even if my earthly manager takes advantage of me, even if I do what I ought to do and they just, you know, cut corners or whatever case, they don't treat me well, God sees what I do. That is the amazing comfort in the scripture. Just serve God and submit and obey in all things as best as we can, right? Humanly possible. Obey in all things because we're doing it as though Jesus himself is telling us to do it, and God will reward us. That is the blessing and the comfort that we have. In fact, if you notice how it says here, verse 24, shall receive the reward of what? The inheritance. Now, the inheritance is something that's due us, okay? As a child of God, God has rewards for us, and so the context of inheritance is something that we will inherit. It's meant for us. And God has rewards with our name on it. Don't squander it, okay? Don't squander it. He's got rewards that's specifically for us, unique to us. Don't squander it. I think of the prodigal son. He had his inheritance, and he squandered it. And so it was rightfully his, but he squandered it. The rewards are ours to lose, okay? So that's the context, is the inheritance, what God wants to give to me. Remember Mark 9:41, the Bible says this, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not what? Lose his reward. The idea is, it's you do what pleases the Lord. We don't lose it. The rewards are ours to lose. For ye serve the Lord Christ. So of course, we are his ministers. We serve him and him alone. But look at verse 25. It goes the other way too. God will reward us. But all the works that we do, whether good or bad, the Bible says, at the judgment seat of Christ, will be tried by fire. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. That's a very sobering thought, friends. And not just being idle. This is specifically saying we're doing something. We're just doing it wrong, okay? And what is the context of that? Doing it with eye service, as men pleasers, not doing it heartily. I might be doing it, but am I doing it heartily as unto the Lord? And there is no respect of persons. God is not a respecter of person. Doesn't matter who we are, how we are. Anyone, here's the blessing, anyone can glorify God. Anyone can glorify God anywhere. And so praise God for that. But how do we glorify God? We have to do number one, obey. Again, even at the work site, obey our masters in the flesh in all things. Amen. So that's the scope. But the depth, we do it to be well-pleasing to the Lord. By how? By doing it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Specifically, not unto men. It's got to be all for the Lord. Amen. What a blessing. In fact, let's go to Ephesians 6. Same context. Let's go to Ephesians 6 here. Just back a few books, Colossians, and then you have Philippians, you have Ephesians right there next to it, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to verse 6, and I'm going to read verse 6, 7, 8. But Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go to verse 6, Ephesians 6, and then in verse 6, speaking about servants again, not with eye service, it's almost verbatim, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Again, we minister to people, but we serve only the Lord. Knowing, it's good to know. It's good to know that God will bless and reward. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man, that includes anyone, amen, and me, you, any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. That's an amazing thing. When we go to work tomorrow, or whenever we're employed in whatever capacity, that is a blessed ministry that God has given us, that we can glorify God, that we can reap up, you know, and lay up treasures for us in heaven. That is a wonderful thing. Don't sell what God has given us short. All that we have, God has a purpose. And the purpose is that we might glorify him in all that we do. And sometimes, I'm guilty of this, you know, we kind of compartmentalize what we do. Every day is a gift of God. And it's a privilege that we can serve him and glorify him no matter where we are or who we are. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father. Lord, what a humbling thought, Lord. And your word tells us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And by faith, only by faith that we can serve you. And truly, let us be reminded, Lord, that we minister to others, but we serve only one. And you love us. You're a jealous God. And Lord, we fear you. Help us to fear you and love you and serve you even more. Help us, Lord. Help me not to be a respecter of persons. And we know that you are not, Lord, that we're all guilty before a holy and righteous God. But Father, your desire is that we would take that to heart, Lord, and not respect. And because those that I, quote-unquote, respect, those I tend to fear and serve. And Lord, I should only fear and serve and honor you from that capacity as my King, as my God. What a joy that we can glorify you anyway, Father. But help us, help me to do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Complete, no leftovers. To completely give my heart to you, Lord. To be yielded to you. To rejoice in you. And to serve you. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and goodness to us. Help us, Lord, to truly glorify you even tomorrow and this coming week. As we interact with people, Lord, let us do all that we do at home, at the work field, and, you know, out and about, Lord, whatever we do, help us to do it heartily as unto you and not to men. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.